Welcome. Okay, it's just 7 o'clock, the top of the hour. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and ask the clerk to please take the roll call. Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Kargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi. Here. Okay, if I can ask you to please stand if you'd like and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. America, Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. All right. So we've got some citizens' comments. So I'll kind of group them together. Starting with Lori Gillard, I see you. Hello, good evening.
So can I go ahead and start?
Yes, and just to remind you, everyone has 5 minutes. We like to stay within the 5 minutes because we have
I'll be quick.
Oh, sure, no worries.
So I want to introduce myself. My name is Lori Gillard, and I live at 227 Forest Avenue, and I have been a resident of River Forest for almost 24 years. So I just want to share with you, I've been in, on the Deer Management Committee for the last year. And I am really happy to say we successfully created a community deer survey, and we had over 1,400 responses and literally hundreds of comments. Now I want to share my experience with the results of the deer survey. So at the December 15th meeting, towards the end of the meeting, Tom and some of the other committee members were pushing for a vote to cull deer. Now I mention this because this was the only action item that seemed to be driving this group of people. We'd never really discussed the results of the deer, the survey, and we had not really discussed any of the comments. So I was really taken aback because, I mean, you know, several of us spoke up and I said, this isn't, you know, we have a responsibility to our community to review all the comments. You know, people take the time to fill out the survey. It's the least we can do. You know, I was not saying what our action items should be, but I think that was a responsible thing to do. So I would like to invite the village trustees or anybody else who wants to listen to this. It's at 1 hour, 40 minutes into the audio recording on December 15th. And I really encourage you to listen. So you just get a feel for what was going on. So between December 15th and January 19th, I reviewed the 802 survey comments and I researched on the Cornell website, which had been provided to us as a deer management resource. And I created a draft deer management plan, which, you know, it included a more comprehensive view of what our committee might consider. And I included some of the comments, especially comments that were like repeated. So, you know, people had concerns about one thing or another. So anyway, just for discussion. And I submitted to Sarah for the January meeting. So then the email was sent out with the agenda for the January meeting. And the first thing on the agenda was to cull the deer, to vote to cull the deer. So, you know, I emailed Sarah and Tom. I expressed my concern because we had not really discussed any other action items. And I really thought it was premature. So on January 19th, the committee voted to allow me to present my deer management plan. And it was a draft document. It was a good place to start. I was completely dismissed. I presented it. And then I was accused of filibustering the meeting. I mean, I'm just, my heart's kind of pounding because it gets me so mad. I put a lot of effort into it and we never talked about anything else. It was always this culling thing. And the people were profoundly rude. So anyway, not everybody, because there's the small group. Okay, sorry, I'm getting off my little list and I don't want to go over my time. So I would really, again, I would like to encourage the trustees and anyone else interested, to please listen to January 19th audio of the meeting. It's in the first half and you can hear what's been going on. So when I thought I was volunteering for a community deer management committee, what I came to realize was this committee was created exclusively to justify culling deer. I'm not even against culling. I'm neither pro nor, anti-culling, pro-culling. I just, I'm trying to do this deer management committee and try to be responsible. Anyway, I didn't expect to get so upset. But, my input was never respected. And many of our committee members, we were just dismissed. And we had people attack us in these meetings. I mean, it was just the craziest thing. Anyway, so we were put on that committee, I believe, to appear legitimate to our community. But really, these members, I don't know how they were selected, but they outnumbered us. So when we voted, quote unquote, of course they're going to outvote us, and they can have their democratic, vote to cull the deer. So, okay, sorry, I'll try to get. Anyway, what I realized, and I started noticing things, was that this whole culling thing had been set up by Tom before the committee was even created. So, I feel kind of played, tell you the truth. The whole the committee was set up as a sham. It really was not set up to be a community deer management committee. So with that, I am resigning from the deer management committee. I hope that there is a legitimate committee set up. I can be involved. I'm very passionate about this, in case you can't tell. This has been an eye-opener for me to witness these irregularities in how this committee was created in the first place, and how were these members selected? And I really seriously question the ethical nature of our village leadership, that they would allow this sort of thing to happen. So if anyone wants to discuss it further, I'm only getting myself really mad, so I will get off. But I want you to know you're free to contact me, and I hope other members of the Deer Management Committee won't egg my house. But I'm just sharing my feelings and what I witnessed this past year. So I request that my comments be included in the minutes of the board meeting. I will give you my edited comments so you don't have my emotion in there. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you, Lori. I appreciate your comments. Ingrid Liu, Dr. Liu? You have to unmute.
Yes. Hello.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi, mine will be brief. My name is Ingrid Liu. I live at 931 Thatcher, which is directly across from Thatcher Woods. I have lived at this address since 2001. My two now teenage daughters have never had another address. When they were young and curious, my biggest concern was that one of them would run into the busy street. As years went by, the mosquitoes became the biggest nuisance and health concern. Living across from the woods has been a wonderful influence on them, even though they now prefer to sit on computers and play video games. I have never once felt the deer to be a danger or even considered that the population needed controlling. However, I acknowledge that my opinion and experience alone is not the same as my neighbors. I volunteered to serve on the deer committee to work constructively with fellow community members to create a plan that may or may not include culling the deer. Instead, I found the meetings to be dominated with opinion rather than fact. As a physician, I have to base advice on evidence and not opinion. It became apparent that the committee was formed with one goal in mind, and that was to recommend to cull. I have yet to hear any objective evidence to support culling. Just having people say their property is being damaged or that they see more deer than before is not enough evidence for me. In the survey of the community, more than half that responded indicated they are not in favor of culling. The committee spent many hours developing the survey, and to simply discount the results is insulting. I appreciate the opportunity to participate, but because I do not feel that the committee will be submitting an appropriate recommendation to the Board of Trustees, I respectfully resign my position as a member of the Deer Committee. I welcome any questions or dialogue with any of the trustees, and I will communicate my intentions in an email as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Doctor. Annette?
Hi, yes, thanks. Hello, my name is Annette Madden, and I've lived at 14 Ashland Avenue for the past 25 years. I applied to be a member of the DEER committee after attending the village board meeting in January 2020. And I had no prior knowledge of the DEER issues in our village before this meeting. And so when I applied to become a member of the DEER committee, I did so with an open heart and no predetermined agenda. My only desire was to be an asset to the committee and to our community. Unfortunately, the majority of our committee and Trustee Kharji joined with a one-track solution, and it was to call the deer and nothing else. Much of this has been said by Catherine Christmas at the last village board meeting. I would refer you to her comments, and I am declaring that I am in full agreement with her statements. Because of these issues, I am resigning from the Committee on Deer Management. I'm doing this to free myself from a burdensome negative experience and a broken process. I have found some wonderful, thoughtful, intelligent committee members that I will work with as a resident. I plan to prepare a recommendation for you that will move our village one step closer to a well-considered deer management plan. Thank you very much. And I too will submit this along with Catherine Christmas's comments to the last meeting, so you can refer to that as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annette. Marsha?
Good evening. My name is Marta Kosber. I reside at 1235 Monroe. I've been a resident of River Forest for almost 50 years. I would like to voice my disappointment with our village leadership in their handling of the deer issue and the task force that was formed to make recommendations on how to move forward and help our community resolve their concerns regarding deer. As a member of this task force, I was chosen as an alternate for my husband because somehow he was deemed as an inappropriate choice. I serve on numerous boards and committees, but I have never experienced the kind of rudeness and disrespect that the minority of us experienced during our meetings. Any possibility of a conversation that represented all points of view was not to be had. I believe this task force was chosen with one goal in mind, a recommendation to cull the herd. It is my understanding that members of this task force were chosen solely by our village president. Certain members were encouraged to apply for this task force, and it would appear that the majority of the members were chosen because they were pro-cull, making the end result a foregone conclusion. Members of the task force that wanted to engage in productive conversation, trying to discuss actual data or lack of it, were shut down. Expressing opinions that might include alternate interventions to culling were not welcome. Members with dissenting opinions were yelled at, spoken to in a condescending manner, and in essence, bullied by those who felt their opinion was the only one that needed to be considered. Discussions of obtaining data and using results of the survey, which by the way, did not support culling the herd, were dismissed. Discussions on educating the community about deer were kept to a minimum. It was my hope that when this task force was formed, it would be a true representation of our community. Sadly, it was not. As leaders of our village, it is up to you, the president and the trustees, to hear all voices, not just the ones that you want to hear while suppressing others. As responsible members of the DEER task force who felt they were accountable to the residents of this village, it was our hope to bring forth a recommendation based on real data with suggestions on how to educate our community. We believed this should have been a first step before deciding to cull the herd and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on something that ultimately may not be necessary. With this letter, based on the above, I am submitting my resignation from this task force effective immediately. I welcome any questions you might have. I will email my letter to the Board of Trustees to be included in the record and the minutes of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Marta, thank you. Catherine, is Catherine Christmas on?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, now we can.
Okay, yeah. I'll be brief. My name is Catherine Christmas. I live at 601 Bonnie Bray Place. At your January 25th meeting, I spoke on behalf of myself and five other committee members of the committee. I didn't realize I should have submitted that letter to the village after speaking, so I will include it in the public records after this meeting. In that letter, we requested that changes be made to the DEER committee's procedures and membership to compensate for the protocol stance of its chairperson, Trustee Kharji. We had asked that he be removed from the committee since the rules indicated he should have never been left in charge in the first place. Since that meeting, I was told that Trustee Kharji will not be removed and will remain in charge. In response, I'm announcing my resignation. I will follow up with a resignation email to the board. My rationale is as follows. In joining this committee, I promise to gather data from the community, explore multiple approaches for deer management, and submit a recommendation to the village. It's clear to me that I cannot do these things within the existing committee. Reason being, it is impossible to discuss any alternatives to calling during the committee meetings, and it's against the rules of the Open Meeting Act to discuss them as a group outside of these meetings. I feel I'm in a catch-22. Staying on the committee prevents me from fulfilling the purpose of the committee, which is to work with others to create a thoughtful deer management proposal for the village. Only by leaving the committee will we be able to discuss and vet the data and our ideas. I intend to follow through with my commitment to create a proposal for a holistic, data-based, results-oriented deer management plan for our village. The only difference is that I will do so as a private citizen rather than as a committee member. I will still submit this proposal to the board, and my hope is that the board will consider all options before proceeding with a plan to cull first. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Catherine. And I do appreciate the fact that you will provide a proposal. And our intent has always been to read all proposals and consider all ideas. So I appreciate that you will follow up on that because I think it's a value to our community. Next up is Molly Grant. Molly, are you on? Hello?
Sorry.
Molly?
Let me go get her. Just
okay.
You ready?
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Nice to see everyone. My name is Molly Grant, and I am here tonight to say I support Erica Bachner as the leader of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusivity Community for River Forest. Erica has years of demonstrated passion, commitment, and expertise working effectively with community groups and vulnerable populations as a team player and leader with a sound moral compass and deep understanding of the complex issues that this committee will work to mitigate and improve. Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. John?
Okay, so
what
are we ready?
Yep, John, you're up.
Okay, so my comments are only going to take 4 minutes and I have five, so I just wanted to take a few minutes to or a few seconds to just behold the moment, I guess, you know. The comments that I heard from all of the resident citizens from the DEER committee, you know, I mean, I'm feeling lots of, I guess, sadness about the situation and a little bit of anger as well. And I guess I just want to just say slowly here to all the board members and the president, you know, if you don't take my issue seriously, that we need to reform the processes for the advisory bodies, like if you don't see this DEER committee, this display tonight as some type of recognition of what I'm saying, I don't know what more else you need. So now I'm going to go on to my prepared comments. I would like to make public comments tonight on two issues. First, regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion, and second, regarding advisory bodies. Regarding the diversity, equity, and inclusion, AKA DEI issue, my comments are as follows. Erica Bachner is the Tom Brady of DEI. She embodies DEI. I 100% support Erica to be the trustee working as the co-leader of this committee. I hope that the committee is given more weight than a hired consultant and that the committee work goes beyond the work of the hired consultant. I hope the reason for creating the committee will be front and center in the founding resolution documents so that residents and others, including potential committee volunteers, can clearly understand the mission. I urge the board to move forward to review a draft resolution at the next meeting and to vote at the March 8th meeting. Regarding the issue of transparency and process in handling the committees, commissions, and boards that report to the village board, my comments are as follows. When I made my public comment at the board meeting on January 25, I concluded my comments by saying, quote, "I call on the trustees and president to take up this issue without delay," unquote. Tonight, I would like to add further definition to my request.
Hey.
Because while quick action was taken in response to my comments, it was not the type of action I had hoped would come from raising the issue to the board as a whole. One week after I had made my public comments, I found out in a phone call with John Pape, the assistant to the village administrator, that in the days following my public comments about advisory bodies, there was some communications between President Adusi and the village staff about my comments, and subsequently village staff added several paragraphs of language regarding advisory bodies to the village website. So tonight, I would like to further define my request. My hope is that the village president and trustees will take this issue up as a deliberative body in the public view, just like it is taking up diversity and equity or deer management. Well, hopefully not like deer management. I think the issue is important enough to merit research and consideration by village staff, the village board, and our trustees. All parties can add value. As an example, I spoke with one resident in particular who has years of professional experience that would lend valuable insight on this issue. I hope that after researching this, the village board will then deliberate and take action, creating guidelines that prioritize transparency from start to finish, and creating prescribed processes that include robust requirements for reaching out to residents in order to fully utilize all of the talent that exists in the village. Tonight, I would like to submit some actionable suggestions that have come out of my conversations about this issue. I have spoken with clerks, elected officials, and attorneys in municipal law, and have created a list of ideas and suggestions that I hope the board would consider when they take up this issue. Since my original comments were 2 weeks ago, tonight I hope to hear if board members have considered this issue and if they think it does deserve careful consideration and reform. Finally, I would like to ask that the prepared statements that I've just read would be added to the record for this meeting, as well as my written suggestions that I will submit with them. I will email both to Sarah Pfeiffer following this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Okay, Jan Sager.
Mute yourself.
Okay. Okay, I'm on. Thank you. Jan Sager, River Forest resident. How many times have we heard the phrase, "this makes a difference"? In the case of River Forest, it's true.
Hey, Jan, could you speak up? Jan, we can't hear you. Could you just speak up just a little bit?
Is this good?
Okay, better.
Is that? Okay.
Yes, better.
How many times have we heard the phrase, "it takes a village"? In the case of River Forest, it's true. River Forest is a well-run village, and our success is due to the great people who serve and support here. We're small at roughly 2.5 square miles and a population of about 11,000, or one-fifth the number of Oak Park. We don't have the large pool of residents interested in serving in governmental roles as other communities may have. We're fortunate to have President Cassidy Houston, Martin, Jews, and volunteer their time, and that means without pay. The members do a great job, and their positive contributions shouldn't be overlooked. With our small population, we're very lucky to have the level of interest and talent in those who wish to serve. I'm currently a member of our Health Historic Preservation Commission after attending several regular meetings and hearings. The commissioners have served anywhere from many years to just a few. All are knowledgeable, enthusiastic, and dependable. Over the years, I've attended many other governmental meetings and hearings to understand how our village functions and at times to make my voice heard. Those members approach their responsibilities the same way. It helps to first go to the website, tab, boards, and commissions to see what River Forest has. The main page features an address by Captain Ducey, President Ducey, twice providing the link to a volunteer application to serve on a board or commission. Click a board or commission on the menu to the right for description, members, and meetings, and again, a link to the volunteer application. Interested parties submit an application to the President's office, checking off commissions of people. Application review is done by the President. By ordinance, the President is given the power to make the board and commission appointments. At the board meeting, the Board of Trustees approves or rejects the President's appointment. I didn't have to search far to discover our process to approve volunteer boards or commission members is general standard practice. Maywood, Forest Park, Elmwood Park, Elmhurst, the name just a few, that works in our community. Switching to Oak Park model would merely add more process steps, costing us more time and money without reward. Let's not try to fix what's not broken. I believe the Board of Trustees will continue to focus on policies and practices. Our volunteer boards and commissions will continue to advise our Board of Trustees effectively. With the strong leadership of President Kathy Ducey making sure everything stays on track, River Forest will continue to be a well-run building, and it always takes a place. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jan. We'd ask that, do you want to get asked to make sure, because a lot of it was hard to hear.
Yeah, Jan, it was just a little bit hard to hear. Would you mind emailing your comments to either John Pape or Sarah Pfeiffer so we can
make
sure
that?
Oh, I did. Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Fantastic. Thank you,
Okay. Jan. Is Mindy? Okay, thank you, Jan. Is Mindy on? Let's see her.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Okay, I'm Mindy Creedy, and I live at 1452 Park, and I want to thank you all for allocating time for me to comment on the appointment process for village boards and commissions. My message is simple. Don't overcomplicate the process. We're a small village with nowhere near Oak Park's volume of volunteer openings. Maywood and Forest Park use the same process as River Forest. Oak Park adds an extra step of a paid staff member reviewing applications. However, in all four communities, the applicants are presented by the village president, mayor, or trustee, and the board of trustees review and provide consent. By my estimate, River Forest maybe has 10 or 15 positions to fill annually, but only a small number of residents volunteer. We don't need extra steps, term limits, or an elaborate screening process. I estimate that half of the regular openings result in reappointments of highly qualified volunteers. The village board should continue to affirm the appointment of experienced residents and reject arbitrary term limits. When the opportunities arise for newcomers, the process is straightforward. Speaking from experience, the process hasn't changed in some 15 odd years. One previously had to navigate multiple village websites to clarify the process. but the information was always available. What wasn't stated explicitly on the village website was easily obtained from experienced neighbors. For me, my friend, former resident Julie Moeller, asked me to volunteer, and she answered many of my questions. I'm horrified by the idea of our neighbors and their candidacy being publicly compared, a requirement under the Open Meetings Act if applications for voluntary board and commission vacancies are debated in trustee meetings. I appreciate the time and effort you put into your trustee roles. Please continue to leverage processes that are tried and true and own the decisions that you collectively make.
What was your question,
make.
Anthony? We're going to go to Grandma.
Could you please Damien, could you put your phone on mute? Everyone, please put your phone on mute. Can we put them on? Hello? Okay. Go ahead.
Shall I reclaim my time here? I appreciate the time and effort you put into your trustee roles. Please continue to lever processes that are tried and true and own the decisions that you collectively make. The board and commission appointment process works just fine, and there is an appropriate amount of transparency. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you, Mindy. Okay, that concludes our public comment for this evening. So we'll move on to elected officials and comments and announcements. And we could start with the elected officials and then we'll go over to the River Forest Police Department. Presentation. So I'll go ahead and start with Bob. Do you mind if you start, Trustee O'Connell?
Thanks, Kathy. I want to thank the residents for their comments this evening. I think as I look back on several of the comments that were made, I think we had some good information. Obviously, we had good intentions and good information going into our selection. And on the DEER committee, and I'm looking forward to reading the comments and the reports so we can make a decision. And as it relates to comments made relative to our boards and commissions, I think our village staff reacted like they do on every opportunity where a request is made by a resident to make a clarification or make it easier for residents. And so I applaud them for the work they did. And hopefully we are closer to fulfilling Mr. Grant's request than we are further from it. So that's all I have for this evening. Thanks.
Okay. Patty?
Yes, good evening. And I want to thank everybody who spoke tonight. I know it's not always easy to make public comments, so I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and I appreciate those who are on the call listening in general. My takeaway and my take on things in general is that we can always, there's always room for improvement, right? And so I take what was said tonight seriously, and I do think that there are things that we can do to improve our processes to make them better. So I will leave that at that at this point. But I would like to, I don't have other new announcements, but I would like to get a clarification on an email we received on Friday, late Friday evening regarding the minor amendment to the plan development for the Sheridan and a resolution for the residents. The last I recall back in December, we had a resolution with the residents and regarding the landscaping on their property. So I was somewhat surprised to get the email on Friday that perhaps that had changed. And so what I would like to ask to have an understanding is, as part of the agreement of the plan development, the developer was going to give $10,000 to Township Services. And now as part of what was shared with us on Friday, for the first 2 years of that, now they will get $5,000 instead of the full $10,000.
and in part it was explained so that the $5,000 from each of those payments would go towards the resolution for the residents. And so what I'm wondering is why the township was part of that negotiating in terms of finding a resolution for the residents there on Bonnie Brae. So if you could just explain that, give a better understanding of that, I'd appreciate it.
You take that or you want me to take it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you can't hear. Yeah, you got to bring it further in.
Greg, it shows that you're muted.
Can you hear him?
No.
Oh.
Greg, if that mic's on, maybe try another mic. But that one doesn't seem to be picking up. I'm sorry.
Hello, can you hear me?
No, can.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Let me just change the equipment here. All right, we're good. Okay, so as the developer for the Chicago and Harlem Sheridan development, he had a condition requiring them to install landscaping along their western border to screen their property from the adjacent neighbors' residential properties to the west. As those negotiations proceeded, it became clear that the neighbors, instead of allowing the developer to go onto their property and make the plantings, the residents wanted to receive a payment to allow them to do the plantings themselves. In negotiating the amount that the neighbors would receive in exchange for the developer satisfying the condition, they reached a point where the neighbors were asking for more than the developer was willing to give, and the village approached the township, which was set to receive those impact payments, and they asked the township on behalf of the residents, would you be willing over the course of 2 years to take a reduction in the amounts you were owed to allow these neighbors to receive the funds for the plantings that the developer would otherwise complete. The township supervisor agreed, and staff believes that this was a very fair and equitable way to resolve this matter, and that's how it came to be.
Greg, maybe you can remind everyone and trustees how much the developer paid on the landscaping for all, I think, six residents.
Right. So the developer paid to the six residential neighbors to the west of their property $17,784 a piece. So it'd be that $17,784 times six. It's a little over $100,000 or?
No, it's like
$120,000. So that was the amount that the developer paid to the residents. The checks went out today, we were told.
Yes.
And have been put in the mail per the settlement agreement.
So if I can just clarify, back in December, the agreement was five residents were receiving that amount, and now it's six.
Yep.
So I guess I'm not understanding, if the developer is in fact paying for all six, why does the township have to forego some of the money they were going to get in order to cover this cost?
Right. So one of the residents had decided that they would prefer the payment instead of the planting by the developer. And in order to bring this matter to a resolution, the village approached the township, which agreed to do it. The township could have said no, but out of, they decided to work with the village to have a good resolution on this matter.
Yeah.
So they had a choice, the township had a choice, and they said, okay.
Yeah. Okay, very good, okay. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, very good. Katie?
Yes, thanks.
Sure.
I want to thank all the residents who spoke up tonight. There was a lot of passion, and could tell that it's frustration, and it's difficult to find the time to coordinate your own schedules with the village board meeting, and much less to get up the gumption to speak on such a difficult. Sounds like it's been a difficult situation. So thank you for that. And we will be talking about the deer situation. We look forward to having everyone's input. I also wanted to acknowledge that February is Black History Month. And there are many events and initiatives to participate in. Some people are taking this time to read and listen and watch and their understanding of our country's history of systemic racism and the struggles that people of color face, and also consider how their own behaviors have perpetuated racism. I want to mention one opportunity for personal work on anti-racism that, rather than a one-time event, can be a building block for understanding, identifying, and making a commitment to fight racism wherever it's found, including ourselves. And that's the Race Conscious Dialogues program here. It's based here in Oak Park. It's in a format of, the format is a series of four sessions, 3 hours each. Actually, that's one of their formats. They have several formats. It involves advanced readings, and it's now available remotely because of COVID. So actually you can live anywhere in the anywhere and participate. It's also very, very reasonably priced. Several others on the board have participated in OCD or RCD, Race Conscious RCD, in various ways. And the way to find out more is raceconsciousdialogues.org. Two other things I wanted to mention. After our last meeting, I mentioned that the village is accepting unused medicines in the basement of the village hall. I got a follow-up question from a resident about whether we take sharps, lancets, and the and needles and the like. And gave an answer to the resident, but I thought it would be important to tell others who this information with others. The village does not accept sharps. So, and the best, the container that you put the medicines in is not by someone, so please don't put sharps in it. No one's gonna, you know, notice if you do it, but don't do it. You should either ask your doctor what to do with your sharps, or there's a website, needledisposal.org, and you can get information there. The last thing I wanted to mention, and maybe Chief O'Shea, I didn't realize that you were gonna be talking or giving a presentation today, but I did attend the quarterly meeting. And it was a really nice presentation as always. Thanks very much, Chief. I want to mention one of the things that one of the presenters was Pamela Mann, who's the director of Oak Park Township Services and through an IGA with River Forest, also River Forest Township. She talked a little bit about how with COVID, so many of their services have moved virtual with appointments, picking up meals and drive-bys, Zoom support, group well-being calls. One thing that struck me was that she said that they have had a dramatic increase in the number of meals served and delivered during COVID. And she gave two telephone numbers that I thought are important to share. And I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, Chief O'Shea, because I really don't know what your presentation is, but it doesn't hurt to share the numbers twice. The first is if, anyone who's in need of services has questions about housing, benefits, COVID, vaccines, etc., to call 708-383-8060. And then this one I thought was particularly important. She said, if you're concerned about an older adult who's outside of our immediate area, like if you have an aunt in Minnesota who's not answering your call or what have you, give another number to call and we can get resources outside of our immediate area there. And this number is 800-671-1116. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Kathleen? Nothing. Okay. Is Rez, are you there?
Hey, Rez. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you. And good evening, everybody. I also want to thank all the residents who came and provided public comment. I am in one way saddened to hear that the discussions were not as amicable as I would have liked. However, I will look forward to receiving the reports. I understand that there may be more than one. I will make at least a commitment to read the reports as they are brought forth. Hopefully we'll have a fruitful discussion at least at the board level what next steps can be made as it relates to the dear committee's recommendations. Second, I also want to give another update as it relates to age-friendly collaboratives. You may have, in the past, I've talked about the Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus, which Kathy Aducey chairs the committee, but also now out of that, we created a smaller, what we hope to be a regional age-friendly collaborative. It will be comprised of the Austin Council, Forest Park, Oak Park, Maywood, and River Forest. As of now, that's the villages, and Austin Council is not a village, but it is a advocacy group in the Austin community, of which we are just got together this past week to discuss what shared initiatives we can group together as a region to fulfill age-friendly interests and initiatives for our seniors. So again, another example of how we can work collaboratively within our own areas. And when I say Oak Park and River Forest, we have the Oak Park Township as well as the River Forest Township that's also part of this, and happy to do that. So good start and of a beginning, and hopefully we'll continue. Another example of how we can all work together in our areas. Last but not least, I do want to acknowledge and I guess very happy to see that the Zoning Board of Appeals is meeting on this, the 11th. And one of the topics is going to be the discussion regarding proposed text amendments relating to the Affordable Housing Plan. I know that's one of the initiatives this board is looking towards, and these were, this was one of the items we talked about, is having the zoning board starting to address this issue as well. So people can probably listen to their meeting and at least hear about what the initial discussions on that. So other than that, thank you very much, and look forward to working with everybody.
Okay, thank you, Rhett. I'm glad that you're home.
Yeah.
And out of the snow.
Yes.
Okay, Tom?
Nothing.
Okay. Erica?
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to start off with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and is still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi Nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I'd like to thank each and every public speaker tonight as well. There were some very important comments, and to Bob's, I think Bob and Rez both mentioned, you know, the reports, some of them coming out of now residents who aren't a part of a commission. And so I look forward to those as well. And just thank you everybody for their time and service. I want to also acknowledge that it is quite a cold spurt that we are in at the moment. Nothing new to Chicago. I think I've said that before in the area. But if, you know, everyone should try not to go out there if possible. Don't put yourself in the situation. It looks like, from what I understand, it's going to be for this entire week that we're going to have to deal with this really, really bad cold. And that if people have a need, and even if they're just a little bit of a question, right, it does not hurt to call our non-emergency number at the village to see if they can get assistance. I also want to acknowledge Black History Month and agree with the sentiments that Trustee Brennan had earlier. Sometimes it can be daunting to know what to do during Black History Month. It can seem like there's a lot out there. And certainly what Katie mentioned around race conscious dialogues is one of the best ways to start for people who do not identify as Black. A lot of people don't know that Race Conscious Dialogues also has a cohort that is for people of color who do not identify as Black. I help with the curriculum and with the facilitation of those. And we are due to have another cohort coming up in a month or so. So there are different ways to get involved. As well, you can also, if you Google the NAACP, they have a list of different ways that you can support the Black community. And so one is supporting a Black business, visiting a Black history or civil rights museum. And from what I understand, the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, DC is now doing virtual tours, which is, I think, incredible. And so people should really take advantage of that. Donate to a Black organization. And there are a bunch of other ones on their list. So if you don't know, it is a quick Google way to see how you can participate in Black History Month. I think that's it for me.
Okay, thank you. Well, I just have a few things. Some are a bit repeats of what everyone said. First, I want to acknowledge the members of the DEAR committee that are on this phone call. I want to echo what Katie, Rez, and Bob, and Erica said. We certainly appreciate all of your effort, and I assure everyone that we will read all the reports and discuss all the reports before any action happens, because that's the right thing to do. But I do appreciate everyone's effort, and I thank you for spending your time and evenings away from your family to participate in the committee meeting. I also echo the support for Erica Bachner. I think she's great, and she certainly is someone who has great interest in diversity, equity and diversity, and she has a passion for it. So I fully support Erica as a co-leader. A couple other things. I, too, attended the quarterly crime meeting, as Katie mentioned. It was a very good meeting, and I'm glad you mentioned Pam Mann. She's quite knowledgeable, and she represents us very well from the River Forest Township. I also want to add about the cold. Certainly, we do have a senior response team number that I highly recommend our seniors not go out and use our COVID senior response team. They're there volunteering. We've got still several resident volunteers that want to help, certainly our seniors and anybody that is in need. So please call that number. I also want to acknowledge Rez's comments about age-friendly collaborative. I too joined that call with the folks from Oak Park, the mayor of Oak Park, the mayor of Forest Park, Trustee Miguel Jones was on it, as well as Austin. It's also included the Austin area. So I'm really excited about that collaborative, and everyone's working very well together to move common age-friendly issues forward. I also was asked by the OPRF search committee to give input on what would qualify for a good superintendent. So I had about a 15-minute call with their consultant that they're using for their search committee. So I found that found it really good, and I think they're really trying to make sure that the interview process and the criteria for a new superintendent includes many of the issues that River Forest is interested in. So wanted to let you all know that too. So that's all I have. So we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. So if I can, oh, it's so long. I forgot about you, Chief. Sorry, Jim.
Jim and Jim.
Yeah, Jim and Jim. Commander Greenwood.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Madam President, honorable members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. First, prior to going into the recognition of the shared principles between the NAACP and Illinois Chiefs Association, we'd like to talk about something that actually complements and supports not only what some of the trustees said tonight, but some of the residents with regard to what do you do during Black History Month? How do you celebrate that? What's some of the things you can do to reflect or consider during the month of February? And tonight we'd like to present on five cops to celebrate during Black History Month. In recognition of Black History Month, we've gathered five inspirational examples of African-American law enforcement officers who paved the way during a difficult era for law enforcement and Black Americans. The first we're going to talk about this evening is Bass Reeves. Bass Reeves joined the ranks of law enforcement in pre-statehood Oklahoma after he became a free man following the Emancipation Proclamation. He was hired as one of 200 deputy U.S. Marshals to track down fugitives hiding in the Indian Territory, becoming the first deputy U.S. Marshal appointed west of the Mississippi River. The 6'2", 180-pound lawman quickly made a name for himself as an expert in firearms and detective work who could track down outlaws that seemed consistently to elude his fellow marshals. The most feared cop on patrol in the territory, the abominable marshal, survived multiple gun fights and assassination attempts. As a former slave, Reeves was illiterate, but that did not get in the way of his outstanding work as a law enforcement officer. Reeves would memorize his warrants and writs and reportedly never arrested the wrong person in his 32 years as a deputy U.S. Marshal. Some say the character of the Lone Ranger was inspired by Reeves' life. Second, we'd like to talk about Georgia Ann Robinson. Georgia Ann Robinson was the first Black female police officer to work for the Los Angeles Police Department. It may have been the first Black female law enforcement officer in the country. A recruiter reached out to her in 1916 based on her work for community organizations throughout the city and her obvious passion to help her fellow citizens. Robinson started out as a volunteer before becoming a full-fledged officer when she was hired as a jail matron in 1919. She also worked as an investigator in juvenile and homicide cases and set up a much needed woman's shelter in the city during her time as a cop. When her career was shortcut after she was blinded by a jail inmate, Robinson continued to work with the community through the woman's shelter and by teaming up with the NAACP to fight to desegregate the LA school system. In 1954, when a journalist asked her about her law enforcement career and the incident that ultimately blinded her, she says she has no regrets. "I didn't need my eyes any longer. I had seen all there was to see," Robinson said. Our third individual this evening we'd like to celebrate is James Wormley Jones. Buffalo soldier James Wormley Jones fought valiantly in World War I, then made history upon returning home as the first African-American special agent for the Bureau of Investigation, what we now know as the FBI. The agency was drawn to Jones because of his expertise in explosives, which he gained during his time in the Army, and his experience as a cop in Washington, D.C. prior to the war. Jones worked undercover for the Anti-Terrorism General Intelligence Division, which was formed after a series of terrorist bombings and led by future FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. Next, I'd like to talk about Lloyd Seeley. Lloyd Seeley was an officer who earned many firsts during his 27 years with the New York Police Department. As the department faced riots and accusations of excessive force against African Americans during the 60s, he became the first Black officer to command a Harlem police district. He would later go on to be the first Black assistant chief inspector and commander of 11 Brooklyn precincts. He was considered a calming presence in the community during volatile times. His steady leadership, acting as a bridge between civilians and the predominantly white officers who made up the NYPD at the time. In his later years, he taught at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. He was also one of the founding members of the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, commonly known as NOBLE. To Black officers in particular, he was an inspiring model of what a top-notch policeman can be, said Police Commissioner Benjamin Ward at the time of Seeley's death in 1985. He was tremendously valuable to the NYPD. Our last individual we'd like to talk about and celebrate this evening is Willie L. Williams. Willie L. Williams was the first African-American law enforcement officer to become top cop for both Philadelphia and the Los Angeles Police Departments. In Philly, where he was commissioner for 4 years, starting in 1988, he's credited with implementing the novel idea of taking community policing approach to law enforcement, boosting diversity within the ranks, and decentralizing the agency by establishing small police stations throughout the city. He then brought his skills to the LAPD, where he was chief during most of the 1990s, a time fraught with racial tension between the public and law enforcement officers in the City of Angels. Williams came into the department on the heels of the Rodney King verdict and the ensuing 5-day riot that left over 50 people dead and more than 2,000 injured. He is largely credited with what was the daunting task of calming police, community policing and relations. There were young officers who realized that as a result of his achievements, it was possible for us to do something similar, said Police Commissioner Richard Ross at the time of Williams' death in 2016. Former Philly Mayor Ed Rendell said, he bridged the gap that was omnipresent for years and years within minority communities, thinking the police were not their friends. In conclusion, these history makers overcame challenges, no matter how daunting, to proudly protect the community. Now at this time, we'd like to move on to discussing the 10 shared principles that were created with the NAACP working in partnership with the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. And just for some background, prior to Commander Greenwood reading the resolution, the Illinois Chiefs of Police and the Illinois NAACP State Conference created a resolution of shared principles that are designed to bridge the gap of mistrust between police and communities of color. The first of its kind in our nation's history, the agreement between an NAACP State Conference and a statewide law enforcement agency identifies the common ground between local law enforcement and communities of color and their commitment to and passion for defending civil rights and keeping communities safe. The initiative began in late 2014, 4 months after the unrest erupted in Ferguson, Missouri. As the protests and confrontations rippled throughout the country, both the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police and the NAACP determined that they would forge a partnership ensuring safety, dignity, and justice for all citizens and police officers alike. The two associations conducted 8 joint gatherings across the state of Illinois involving hundreds of leaders from law enforcement and communities of color who participated in World Cafe style conversations on topics of mutual concern. Any sessions called Let's Talk at each of the association's annual state conferences occur. The Let's Talk and World Cafe sessions greatly enhance the conversations and pave the way for the development of a set of shared principles that are designed to foster and build trust between communities of color and police agencies. The conversations resulted in new ideas for moving forward and a stronger than ever commitment to working together to grow trust, improve relationships, and to keep communities safe. These principles are just a starting point, and they are expected to evolve and expand over time. These principles were signed by the River Forest Police Department on August 17th of 2020. As of today's date, many other agencies continue to sign on to and support this initiative. At this time, Commander James Greenwood will read the resolution.
Thank you, Chief, members of the board, Madam President, and our citizens. Adoption of the shared principles by the River Forest Police Department. Whereas on March 22nd, 2018, the NAACP Illinois State Conference and the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police agreed to 10 shared principles designed to build trust between law enforcement and communities of color. And whereas the two statewide associations vowed by mutual affirmation to work together and stand together in our communities and at the state level to implement these values and principles and to replace mutual trust wherever, whenever, and however we can. Number one, we value the life of every person and consider life to be the highest value. Number two, all persons should be treated with dignity and respect. This is another foundational value. Number three, we reject discrimination toward any person that is based on race, ethnicity, religion, color, nationality, immigrant status, sexual orientation, gender, disability, or familial status. Number four, we endorse the six pillars in the report of the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing. The first pillar is to build and rebuild trust through procedural justice, transparency, accountability, and honest recognition of past and present obstacles. Number five, we endorse the four pillars of procedural justice, which are fairness, voice, and opportunity for citizens and police to believe they are heard, transparency, and impartiality. Number six, we endorse the values inherent in community policing, which includes community partnerships involving law enforcement, engagement of police officers with residents outside of interaction specific to enforcement of laws, and problem solving that is collaborative, not one-sided. Number seven, we believe that developing strong ongoing relationships between law enforcement and communities of color at the leadership level and street level will be the keys to diminishing and eliminating racial tension. Number eight, we believe that law enforcement and community leaders have a mutual responsibility to encourage all citizens to gain a better understanding and knowledge of the law to assist them in their interactions with law enforcement officers. Number nine, we support diversity in police departments and law enforcement profession. Law enforcement and communities have a mutual responsibility and should work together to make a concerted effort to recruit diverse police departments. Number 10, we believe de-escalation training should be required to ensure the safety of community members and officers. We endorse using de-escalation tactics to reduce the potential for confrontations that endanger law enforcement officers and community members, and the principle that human life should be taken only as a last resort. Thank you.
Thank you, Commander Greenwood. And prior to the meeting this evening, we presented, down for the board table, a signed copy or the signed original of it's a 36 by 24 framed presentation to the board, and hopefully they'll consider having it posted in the community room. It's been passed around through the police department over the past several months, But we would like to make this special presentation to the board. And at a certain time, maybe we can bring it up on camera. If not, you'll have the opportunity to see it once again, once it's hopefully posted in the boardroom. And I just want to say thank you again for allowing us to make this presentation.
Well, first of all, I want to say it would be our honor to put it in this community room, to put the recognition and declaration up on the community room. This is where it ought to be. I want to thank you, Chief, and you, Commander Greenwood, for working at this for our community. And it's important acknowledgement and recognition that we share these principles between and the NAACP and our police department. So I applaud you and I congratulate you for working toward this important recognition. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, so go ahead.
Can I just say one thing in regards to this?
Sure.
I want to thank Chief O'Shea and Commander Greenwood as well. Can I make a suggestion that if this is not posted somewhere on the website, that we can have it there as well, since we're not going to have too many people for a while into the community room, so that document can be shared online?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah.
And thanks for your work on that.
Yep. Good suggestion. Thank you, Patty. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on now to the consent agenda. If I can have a trustee move and second the consent agenda items A through E.
I move to approve the consent agenda items A through E.
I'll second.
Okay. Any comments or questions regarding the consent agenda? If not, I'd ask the clerk to please read it and then take the roll call.
Consent agenda item A, committee of the whole meeting minutes, January 25th, 2021. B, village board of trustees meeting minutes, January 25th, 2021. C, monthly department reports. D, accounts payable, January 2021, $2,293,729.16. E, village administrator's report. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kharji?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Moving on to item 6A, consent to items for separate consideration. If I could please have a motion and second.
I move to approve the payment from the general fund to McDonald's Caravitas for $84.43.
Second.
Okay. I'd ask the clerk to not include me in the vote since my relationship with the franchisee.
Okay. Consent agenda item 6A, January accounts payable from the general fund to McDonald's Caravitas for $84.43. Trustee Kharji?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick? Yes. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Great, thank you. So we'll move on to our unfinished business, and this is a discussion from our last board meeting regarding diversity, equity, inclusion, internal goals and objectives, and the working group. I believe Lisa sent to you the document that Erica and Katie gave us as a group of board members last time, but now it is part of our packet, so anybody in the public domain can certainly read it. So I ask that you do that. Trying to get to it right now. And then as part of this, I think we have what Eric wrote last board meeting. And I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we agreed, or at least I felt like we agreed that the piece that Eric put together and Lisa has now, you know, looked at and agreed is compatible or corresponds to much of what was put together by Erica and Katie. So unless someone tells me differently, I think the goals, the missions, purposes, and goals, I think kind of captures what I believe the board was talking about last board meeting.
Hey, Kathy, it's Bob. I have a point of clarification.
Yeah.
As I read through the goals and objectives, there was a sentence in there about hiring and firing policies. And that causes me somewhat of concern given the number of collective bargaining agreements we have within within the village. And I would suggest that, you know, that one part of it be taken out. And again, I think, you know, especially as we deal with our police and fire commission, I think they have certain responsibilities, and also the role that our village administrator and now acting village administrator has played in that role in the past. And I'd like to keep that out of this advisory group.
So if I could just add, and I think what right now we're talking about the purpose, mission, and initial goals of what Eric and now Lisa has put in front of you, which is, should be the first page of this equity inclusion initiative document, Bob. And so this should govern the part of the resolution that identifies the purpose, the mission, and the goal of the working group. The other purpose, mission, and initial goals were given to us by Erica and Katie last time, last board meeting, and now it's public, and now we could talk about it. And this piece, and again, I think it's just a matter of working through it, is a good piece, and Lisa went through that and redlined it based on, you know, some of her thoughts as an administrator. But I would look at this piece that's been redlined as more of the responsibility of the working group itself. Those that apply and are part of the committee, this would be their responsibilities. So I think I've got that correct, Erica. Otherwise, please correct me.
And if I can add, I think, Bob, that what's being referenced and what you just saw are really only the policies. It's not to get into any specific employee individuals. So collective bargaining provisions, it's a public document, that would be fine. Any current policy that we do have could be a public information, but definitely nothing about specific employees, performance, discipline, any of that as it relates to an employee will not be part of those discussions. If that helps.
At least that's the intent. So I think if everyone agrees, that would be the intent. So I guess my first order would say, if everyone is okay with the first page of the packet, which it says purpose to develop a diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative for the Village of River Forest. The mission is to remove barriers that prevent the participation, engagement, and welcoming environment for all of our residents, business members, visitors, employees, and municipal services, community, and civic engagement, and in doing so, build trust amongst all parties. And then it goes on to say the initial goals will engage a third-party consultant with the experience in diversity, equity, and inclusion matters. The consultant will design a comprehensive work plan to inform how the village can best approach diversity, equity, and inclusion, including implicit biases in the village internal policies and practices. The review will assess village, its departments, and the practices, policies, and systems and structures to provide an equity analysis and to identify potential unintended consequences. It goes on and says to create a plan that builds DEI knowledge, awareness, and skills among the village employees and stakeholders. Partner with the Village of Maywood, Twin City Covenant, and the Dominican University TRHT Campus Center. and will create a working group to advise the village administrator and the village board. The working group will provide feedback for the creation of an RFP as well as the review of the responses. The responsibility for ultimate oversight of the program would remain with the village administrator. Develop relationships with community members, working group members, and other stakeholders to foster mutual respect and trust. The deliverables from the consultant will be a work plan for the village with short and long-term action items. So the second and third pages, or those the initial goals that are redlined, again, the purpose of this document, again, which was worked up by Erica and Katie and now redlined by Lisa, and we could go through this, would be the responsibility. So if you were to, if someone would apply to be part of this working group, this is where they would look to say, what am I going to be responsible for and part of as an applicant or a person on this committee? And so I ask that we can either go through this so that we can get through the what that responsibility ought to look like, so that we can go on and bring it to a resolution which would provide a mission goals, excuse me, purpose, mission, goals. And then we could talk about the amount of membership, which needs to be in the resolution. And then we need to talk about how those applicants would be chosen. Anything else, Lisa? I mean, if you want to add.
Sure. So basically, what I recall from our last conversation is that we felt these documents were pretty close. They corresponded to each other. As the now acting administrator in administering this process, I took a lot of the thoughts that Eric had pulled together in his memo and incorporated it into this document to just kind of spell out what, in my mind, is a clear indication of what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be going with this and how to get there. So as you'll see here, it's a lot of restatement of what was in Eric's document, incorporating it into what Katie and Erica drafted.
Right. So again, I would ask the Board of Trustees to give feedback on the red line, if as well as on the front page that Lisa provided us, two other things that we as a group have to decide is the group composition and the selection of the advisory group. And I know that, you know, obviously seven members is not nearly enough because we already know we want 12. I think that was just Lisa saying these are the norm, this is a normal composition of a working group or a committee. So we can certainly expand that to, and or just not put a number there until we see the applications itself. I think we also agreed to have co-leads from the advisory group. So one would be a trustee and one would be the village administrator, so that there would be some, you know, cohesiveness as we discuss these issues. And then of course the selection itself. So Lisa recommends 6 weeks. We can make that shorter. I know we've talked about 4 weeks, which is certainly fine. It gives plenty of time for residents to read what potentially the responsibilities will be and if they're interested in applying to the advisory group.
You know, given again, you know, what we've heard the last couple of weeks, I would be in favor of doing that. You know, I would like to give all the residents an opportunity, and I'd like to have the opportunity to review that and discuss it with the fellow trustees and bring that to the village president for her consent.
Kathy, I think I'm in agreement when it comes to the number of people. I think that makes sense to not have a number there yet. And as well, to your point, I agree with the co-leads for the advisory group. I think there's a salting truck behind me if people are hearing noise. Oh. I'm not sure.
I won't say what I thought.
I thought it was a cheerleading group.
Yeah. And I agree that the 6 weeks seems like a lot, that maybe 4 weeks is the way to go with that. And if you want to go through the red line, happy to do so. I do think that it does make sense. And Lisa, thank you so much for incorporating the two documents. What you did was good. But I think it does make sense for that main, that first bullet there to be the, what it said originally, to assess the village and its apartments and its practices. If somebody is looking to see what we're doing on an application process, that's the main goal, right? And then how do we do that? We're doing that by drafting an RFP, selecting and engaging a consultant, to design a work plan in partnership with the advisory group. So I think that's something that I would call out. And then if we're looking at this, the next sub bullet then could be to work with the consultant to review the resulting work plan and equity analysis as a second sub bullet. And then in my mind, I see review of current and future ordinances as being another sub bullet there, separate. Review of vendor relationships being another sub bullet, separate.
So I'm sorry, Erica, you're saying on the initial goals, the one on Eric's old, the first one that I read, this is what
Erica, are you talking about the red line?
I'm talking about the red line. Yeah, you had mentioned
Community. Okay, yeah. Very good. I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought that's what it was. So now we're down to the first bullet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Lisa, I just want to make sure that you see that switch.
Yeah. Okay. Certainly, this is just to continue to move the discussion forward. If there's a different way to format this, to call things out in a way that you think is reflective of the appropriate priorities, I think, by all means, I'm certainly open to the feedback.
I think it's the same information. It's just organized in a different fashion with sort of a not burying the lead, having the initial statement of general statement of what the advisory, the salt truck's at my house now. the general, yeah. So the broad statement first, and then it sort of, the way Erica explained it, sort of goes through in order, drafting the RFP, selecting and engaging, working with the consultant, and then continuing, reviewing current and future ordinances, reviewing vendor relationships, et cetera, as the sub-bullets.
Sure.
Yep, great.
Yeah, and then you, I think there was another red line that you suggested also, which seemed fine.
A couple.
Yeah, I think it was towards the bottom, and that,
bottom.
That seems to make sense. I can see where you were going with that, Lisa. So to assist in the village efforts to educate the public about how their comments and concerns can be addressed as an ad.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Kathy, this is Russ. First, let me start with the first part of the memo regarding the co-leads. I'm in favor of that. I think that's a great way to put this. If anything, even how this document got put together between the village administrator staff with Erica is a good sign of that collaboration. So I think co-leads would be perfect. I also will agree with, I think, earlier residents maybe now is not the right time, but I would be in support of Erica being the liaison or village trustee on this group. I know she put her heart and soul in this, and this is fine and terrific. I think she'd be good too. Going back now to the, I also, on the size of the group, I do know that there are more people than seven who are really interested in serving. So I would join in leaving the number as a blank for now, letting people apply, not only for the individuals who already showed an interest in, from Erica and Katie from before, but also opening it up to anybody else in the village who'd be interested. I'm fine with a 30-day period for the application process to come in. And based on the amount of interest that comes in, I think that might help us guide us to the number of people that should serve on this committee. I think that's good, because in one way, if people are really interested on this one issue and initiative, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So frankly, with seven people, and my committee is made of seven, and we have work to do too. So we definitely feel a little loss of not having more people. So I do think that maybe we should wait and see how many people are interested, and then we can decide what the appropriate number would be for this committee. Regarding the, I'm fine with the first page you read on the purpose, intent, initial goals. Just one more point of clarification. I think the last time, even though the bullets were in a certain order, that doesn't mean they have to be completed, you know, in sequential. They can, you know, they can pick or move and focusing on any of those initiatives, and they can do more than one at the same time. So I'm leaving that on the flexibility of the group. In conjunction with that, as it relates to the initial goals for the equity advisory group, I'm fine with the redlining, even as amended by Erica or Katie, that's fine. I think the points are all there. How we massage it is all there. So I have no objections to the redlining. I do want to maybe clarify, right above the redlining, there's the initial goals, and the text that says initial goals, the goals of the River Forest Equity Group are. I'm wondering if that's unnecessary, because the page before already lists that. And so we don't want to make it sound like they're two separate goals. They're all the goals that are in there.
Right.
And I would say the same thing, that even though they're in a certain order, that doesn't mean they have to be completed in the order of sequence that are there. That group can work on it, whichever one they want, and as many as they want at that time. So I'm fine with that. So, but overall, I think it's good.
Yeah. Hey, Kathy. So I can I assume that Lisa or someone on her team will create the description of this that will be posted on the website? And if that's if that's the case, could we review that before it gets posted, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have all that next board meeting.
Yeah, Erica, I think I'd like to talk with you and just make sure I memorialize your comments and feedback properly. But certainly we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess I would say just, I can't remember if I've said already or not, so I apologize. But on that first page, when we do talk about the mission, the word equity isn't actually there. So if we, I think we can probably say to remove barriers that prevent participation, engagement, and a equitable environment. Remove barriers that prevent the participation, engagement, and an equitable environment for all residents.
Erica, so are you proposing equitable in addition or in lieu of welcoming environment?
I guess it could be in addition, Rez.
I'm asking.
Yeah. I guess it could, yeah. Could be in addition. So maybe comma welcoming and equitable.
Sounds reasonable. Okay.
So can I ask, this is Patty, just for clarification's sake, for our next meeting, is it correct that we're essentially going to have two things to evaluate in terms of text on an application and what's included in that, and then text that would be included in a resolution for the committee itself? Is that right?
Yep. So we'll have, we'll have a resolution, a draft resolution for us to look at and comment and vote on. And then, yes, an application and the responsibility doc, you know, a basically responsibility, which is termed goals right now, but we'll turn that into responsibility.
We certainly can. So with the resolution, if you're leaving open the number of people, right. I mean, we can certainly identify the framework of the resolution and get everything except that pinned down.
Right.
And then once the number of people have been decided, then we would go ahead and have the board adopt that resolution formally, memorializing the number of people who are being appointed to the advisory group.
Yeah, because there's some, there'll be some changes to it. So we can either wait for the resolution and get it right and then adopt it, and then, or adopt it and change it.
Yeah, you can do it either way.
All right. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's the same. It will be the same process.
Okay. Mostly what I was trying to make sure I was clear was that, you know, in other resolutions we've had for committees, a section of the resolution ends up being the charge, right? Which I guess would be the goals here. And so am I understanding correctly what's been being proposed is that what would be in the resolution would be the section of the goals from Eric's document. And then the application includes the red line document, or is that not, am I not understanding that?
Yeah, correctly? Yeah. So in, you wanna go answer it quick?
Yeah, so typically, right. So looking at some of the past resolutions that we've utilized when creating these groups, it typically spells out the number of members, the method by which they are selected, and then the charge. And so what I would suggest doing is including the purpose and the mission, and then attaching the initial goals, and we could certainly include that. The purpose and the mission, I think, will live a little bit longer because some of those initial goals are ultimately going to be accomplished. And so the life, I mean, you can certainly incorporate the initial goals. You're not prohibited from doing that. I just think in terms of the document aging itself a little bit, I want to make sure that it stays valid or relevant over time. And so then what I would say is what I had drafted, which instead of calling it initial goals, where it says the goals and responsibilities in the red line document,
right,
we just call that responsibilities and we would attach that to the application.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, So the question is, should we present a draft resolution at the next board meeting based on everything we talked about, or should we present the application and responsibilities, approve that, send that out for 4 weeks, see what happens, and then adopt the formal resolution?
My opinion is the latter, because I mean, I think kind of creating both of those at the same time is kind of a fait accompli. It's just you're taking what's on the application and you're making it the resolution, and it doesn't really give us the opportunity to discuss. So I would say, let's look at the application and then create the resolution based on what we come up with from there.
They're somewhat similar. Yeah, members. All right. Okay, well, it doesn't sound like, okay.
I don't know. Go ahead, Erica.
No, I was just wondering, is there a reason why we can't have both at the next meeting?
Oh yeah, we can have both. That's absolutely, Erica. That's what I was saying. You can have both. But then you're going to have to change the resolution because you're going to have to enter the number of, so we'll just, it's just another step. And it's, they're both the same. So that's all I was saying. I mean,
I disagree. I don't think they're the same. I think creating the job, the application, and calling out what the responsibilities are going to be and giving us an opportunity to review that and then creating the resolution from there, that's kind of logically how it should flow. Again, I think you're creating a resolution and I'm not getting an opportunity to look at it before I have to vote on it.
Well, I don't think we'd be voting next week, Bob, next meeting.
I was gonna say, maybe I misunderstood, but I thought Bob, we wouldn't be voting on the resolution. It's my understanding they would be presenting the resolution for review, discussion, revision, et cetera. So it'd be a draft for you to for the board to react to, but not to necessarily vote on it at the next meeting. And then same thing with the application.
We could do that. Could do that. Or we could look at the draft and then approve it, after discussion. We could do that. I was suggesting, because there's open items like membership, we could do the membership and the responsibility again as a draft and then approve it at the same meeting, send the application out 4 weeks, see what comes back, and then pass the resolution with, we can put the members in, or we can just put the number in, whatever you want, or we can pass the resolution with a membership blank. I mean, we're going to get to the same places, I guess, because what's going to happen, Erica, is once we get the number, whatever that number of membership is, we'll have to pass that new resolution because it's changing. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's
changing the number. That's the number. Personally, I would recommend.
That's what I'm saying. It's really the same. That's what I was trying to say. And, I mean, Bob, it is the same, only to the extent that if we want to pass something next week, we can, but it will get changed next week. The next board meeting, it will get changed the following board meeting or the boarding after that. That's all I'm trying to be.
I would recommend in the interest of time and just being more efficient, to have both available at our next meeting to be able to evaluate. I mean, essentially, we should be able to get to a decision of the resolution, and it's just the number that changed. And it really mirrors what we did with the DEER committee. We had the DEER committee resolution and the application sort of in tandem in decision making. So I do think it's worth having both documents ready for review at our next meeting, whether we vote on one or both that meeting. I think the application we should be able to approve. That seems simple enough to be able to approve at our next meeting and get it out right away. And then in our meeting March 8th, we should be able to approve, except for the number, which we also adjusted as we went with the other committee. I don't think that should be the hangup.
I don't believe time has anything to do with this. I think we ought to do this right as opposed to rush it.
Oh, we'll still do it right.
I disagree.
I think we're all saying the same thing, truthfully. I think even with the DEER committee, we had to come back and change the resolution and reapprove it. So all I'm saying is it doesn't matter. I mean, we could approve it and then reapprove it, or we can just approve it. So I'm fine with both.
I would like to see the application. I'd like to see both at the next meeting. And I don't consider this to be rushing. We've been talking about this since June. I would really like to see both of these at our next meeting. And it's not a reason to rush it, but it would be great to be able to vote on our next meeting, or to really significantly move this forward while we're still, before the end of Black History Month.
To be fair, last meeting was the first time that we actually saw any concrete plans for what this committee would do. I know you've been discussing it about aspirations and things like that, but it was only the last meeting where we actually had a breakdown of the goals and aspirations of the committee. So I'm fine either way. I mean, we can amend if there's a draft resolution that needs to be amended, we can amend it in the meeting. I don't think there's a problem. I think we're going to have both, but let's not say that we've been talking about this for a long time, because it was only the last meeting that we first saw anything concrete.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're all saying the same. I really do. I think let's just disagree. Again, I don't have, I was trying to make it easier or more simpler, but if everyone feels that we need to move on both of them by next board meeting, I have no issues with that. I think that's completely doable. Based on especially the conversation we had tonight. So I think this moved it pretty far. I just want to make sure everyone understands that the resolution will have to come back to the board for approval again. That's all I was trying to say. So it's fine. All right. So then I think we agree. Consensus is that we'll take up both the application and the resolution next board meeting.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good feedback.
Okay. Anything else for Lisa? Okay.
Hey, Kathy.
All right. Hearing.
Okay. Yeah. Can I throw something on new business real quick?
What?
We didn't, none of us acknowledged it at the beginning of the meeting, but welcome Lisa in your role as acting village administrator. We look forward to working with you. That was my new business.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I joined in on that. Sorry, Lisa.
Is that about on the agenda?
No, it's not on the agenda, but we can always compliment Lisa anytime. Well, thank you. I will take compliments anytime.
You can't just vote to compliment her, right?
We can completely go out of order. That is all.
If you want to pass
Robert
the resolution,
rules of order.
Yeah, if you want to pass the resolution complimenting me, I will not stop you.
Right there, Robert. Anything about Lisa goes in front. All right, very good. Well, thank you so much. I want to again thank Erica and Katie, and all the board members for participating in this. I think it's going to be great, and look forward to next board meeting. All right, no new business, no executive session. So I'd ask the trustee to please move for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All righty. Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 8:46. Very good. Okay, good night, everyone, and thank you.
Say good night.